Blog Talk Radio.
Cut the music up. A little louder. Yeah. You had a lot of crooks try to steal your heart. Never really had luck. Couldn't ever figure out how to love. Didn't last forever. Now you in a corner trying to put it together. How to love. How to love. For a second you were here. Now you over there. It's hard not to stare. The way you moving your body like you never had a love. Never had a love. When you was.
Arena Football Nation, welcome to week 16 of Arena Football Action. I'm Evan Vlad. I'm joining you today. And as always, I'm with BJ Picard. BJ, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Probably not as well as you are, Evan.
You know, the Miami Heat don't always win NBA championship. The last one came in 2006. And
it's so long.
It's been quite some time. I'm doing great today, actually. I'm doing outstanding.
I can tell.
It's a great day, and it's a great Friday in the Arena Football League. And guess what, BJ?
What, Kevin?
We are back live.
Tremendous.
On NFL Network tonight. Obviously, we agreed to terms with the CBA, and we are returning live tonight on NFL Network for Net 10 Arena Football Friday, featuring the New Orleans Voodoo versus the Orlando Predators. You excited for this one?
Yeah, I am excited. It's going to be fun to see Pat O'Hara back in the jungle. It'll be cool to see what kind of reaction he gets, because he did a lot of good things down in Orlando. But, you know, the Orlando crowd is never friendly to the opponents. So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what type of reaction he will get. I know, how do you think he'll approach Brett Bushy in this one?
Well, I have no idea, but I do know that the Voodoo are looking to make a playoff spot here. So they're looking to wrap up the American South Division. We'll see what happens with it. But they're in a pretty good spot. Fourth seed right now. Could move up to number two.
It should be exciting. So right now the Jacksonville Sharks hold the number three seed in the American Conference based on head-to-head tiebreakers over the New Orleans Voodoo, Tampa Bay Storm, and Cleveland Gladiators. And like you said, the Voodoo hold the number four spot in the American Conference based on head-to-head tiebreakers over the Storm and Gladiators. So this is obviously going to be a big game for Pat O'Hara and the New Orleans Voodoo. It'll be exciting to watch. I'm excited. And I don't have to tune in tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, you get to watch it live.
No, I'm excited. Back to live broadcast, so it'll be a great one. I know we're set and ready tonight, and I believe we're going to be doing AFL Live, so.
Oh, why not?
Why not? So go ahead, tweet those questions in, and we'll get them answered on the broadcast. And there's a lot of exciting personalities on both the Voodoo and Predators that would love to hear your questions. So this week in the coaches poll, the top three spots remain the same. Arizona Rattlers at number one, 16 first-place votes. The Philadelphia Soul coming in at number two. And, you know, it kind of surprises me because, well, A, they received only one first-place vote, and they clinched.
They clinched everything.
So.
Best record in the league, clinched the division, clinched the number one spot in the playoffs. Yeah.
So it has me scratching my head a bit. So they clinched everything. They're in the playoffs. Arizona still 16 first place votes. They only received one.
I guess the coaches think that Arizona's a better team. I don't know.
Arizona looks good this season. Nick Davila, you mean, guy can't be beat.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw they activated Jason Gethers this week. Maurice Purifier's been hurt. So we'll see what happens with the receiving core. But even without Purify, they still have some pretty good players out there. Kerry Reed's had a receiving score in every game this season. So a lot of weapons.
So Purify went on recallable reassignment one day this week, and you know, the next day he was activated. So is he going to be playing tonight?
I don't believe so. He had some issues with a knee, so I don't see him playing for another week or two.
So they have Gethers coming back, who is a big body, and I'm a huge fan of Gethers. And University of Miami.
The U.
I'm sure Jason's excited today.
Yeah. Florida is rejoicing no matter where they are, I guess.
So Glenn Fox of the Orlando Predators.
Formerly of the Arizona Rattlers.
I believe I watched him a bit last year. He was awarded Week 15 National Guard MVP. He actually tied a single-game Orlando franchise record with 16 catches in their upset over the Tampa Bay Storm last week. And Chris,
The War on I-4.
Chris Leak's getting it done, huh?
Yeah. I mean, when you have a receiver like Glenn Fox, it helps. He's playing really well. T.T. Tolliver has stepped up, becoming the player that he once was, that we thought we'd see this year. So there's some options in Orlando, but Glenn Fox has really been a great acquisition for him in the last 3 weeks. So it'll be fun to see how he progresses the rest of the season. So Orlando can continue to play spoiler. We'll see what happens.
And I might be showing some Florida bias, but I'm liking. I had a great time watching Chris Leak last Saturday at 3 p.m. But I really did. It was outstanding watching Chris Leak last Saturday. You know, I had some of my Florida friends over, like, what's Chris Leak doing nowadays? He's on TV right now in that 10 Arena Football Friday. And it's great to see Leak getting that W out there against the Tampa Bay Storm. Although, you know, it was a bit of an upset. But we have exciting news for you. We landed a title partnership with Avite caffeinated water for Arena Bowl 25. Stuff's great. You try the Vite caffeinated water?
Actually, I stopped at a Speedway gas station this morning, and I went in and I picked up four bottles of Vite, four for $4. I couldn't pass it up.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not even making that up for the radio. I actually did that. So I'm excited to have Vite as a sponsor. It's going to be fun.
No, it is. Arena Bowl. I know we'll get jacked up for Avite. I know everybody drinking Avite will get jacked up.
Absolutely. Caffeinated water. Gotta love it.
What I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to go home, sit on my couch, drink three Avites, and then watch Net 10 Arena Football Friday.
And then your heart might explode, but hopefully not.
No, come on. It's the perfect blend of water and caffeine. And you know what? There's two different versions of the caffeinated water. The original, which is 45 milligrams of caffeine, and the double, which is, you feeling a little frisky? You want 90 milligrams of caffeine? It's been a long night. You know, you need to wake up, get your mind right. You take the double Avite caffeinated water, and that stuff's good. I'm telling you right now. So it's a perfect partnership for our fast-paced game. We got this fast-paced caffeinated water. When? Caffeinated water? Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
Outstanding.
First draft honey, now Avite.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not drinking coffee anymore. I'm going straight to Avite. Yeah.
No need to get all hopped up on Mountain Dew.
You want to talk arena football action, you give us a call at 347-324-3225. Again, that's 347-324-3225. We'd love to hear what you think about week 16 of arena football action. So last week we had some interesting guys stepping up big time. No more Aaron Lesway, no more Kalani Muku. We got a guy stepping up named Tyson Poots.
Yeah, I think the really interesting thing for Tommy Grady is he still does have those options in Lesway and Kalani Muku. And eventually Chris Bocage if he comes back from injury. But yeah, Tyson Poots stepped up big. He's been another guy that's stepped up kind of mid-season and has developed into a really nice receiver. 190 receiving yards. He had 200 some earlier this year. So Utah's got some weapons, and Tommy Grady's on the verge of history, too.
No, he is. So Poots actually notched 14 receptions for 190 yards and 5 touchdowns over their convincing victory over the Spokane Shock in Week 15. You know, the Shock are starting to drop some games.
They are. It's going to be tough for them to get back into the playoff hunt, even though they have a winning record. They're 7-6. That's a tough division, and that national conference is going to be a tough conference to break into the playoffs. The Rush are feeling the same thing, even though they won. You know, it's tough being on the outside looking in because you really have to win all your games against conference opponents.
So it is Week 16. We are gearing up for the playoffs and the Arena Bowl in New Orleans. I'm excited for the Arena Bowl in New Orleans, and we're only weeks away.
We really are. It's kind of scary. The season's gone by really fast.
Yeah, yes. Yikes. The season's gone by fast, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be... Who are you liking in this? Who are you liking in the Arena Bowl? Give me your Arena Bowl predictions right now.
I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, that's a tough one. There are very good teams on... Well, in the West, there are very good teams. I could see any of those teams coming out of the West and being the Arena Bowl representative from the National Conference. Philadelphia, you got to believe, has, you know, the front seat just based on what they've accomplished this year. But, you know, anything can happen come playoff time. You know, we saw that last year, and I'm sure we'll see you again this year.
The easy prediction would be Philadelphia versus Arizona.
Yeah.
But it's arena football.
Yeah. And, I mean, the San Antonio Talons have a lot to say about that. Fans are real upset that they claim they're not getting a lot of respect. Maybe that's true. I don't know. They've won 7 in a row. Stats speak for themselves.
They do. And honestly, Aaron Garcia down there, it would be great to see another Dabla-Garcia matchup. And I wouldn't be surprised if they meet again.
Well, they're going to meet again in a couple weeks. When the Talons square off with the Rattlers, and just before the Talons started that 7-game win streak, their last loss came against the Rattlers, and that's why the Rattlers have had the edge over the Talons in the polls, if you haven't gathered. The Rattlers beat them by 34. So, yeah, I don't expect that to happen the next time these two teams face off, because it'll be for a whole lot on the line. But it'll be a good matchup one way or another.
No, it will be. I'm excited about that one in a couple weeks, and that'll get you excited for what's to come in the postseason, and that'll be I mean, as we think right now how it's slated, that'll be that National Conference Championship game preview.
Yeah, if things stay the same, that'd be the matchup.
You can't, like we said, especially if Bocach comes back, you can't just kick away the Utah Blaze.
No, I think that's the fun thing about the National Conference. The 4 seed could go to the Arena Bowl, and I don't think anybody would be surprised. You know? All those teams are very, very good teams.
Then you jump to the American Conference, though. I mean, they're not weak teams. They're not weak teams. The Philly Soul, obviously, you have right now in the playoff picture we're talking. We have the Philly Soul, the Georgia Force, who right now...
They lost their quarterback.
What are they going to do?
Well, they're going to start the kid from Hawaii, I think. We'll see what happens. I haven't seen him play yet this year, but he comes from a run-and-shoot offense that generally lends itself to translating to arena football pretty well. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, if you're a Georgia Force fan, you're happy for R.J. Archer getting the contract with the Lions, but at the same time, you're in a very heated playoff race, and Archer was your starting quarterback.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a tough loss for Georgia, but... Well, the rest of the team's going to have to step up.
Not the first time it happened this year. So, you know, Kevin Eakin has had to step up big. And
right, and with Eakin not there anymore, it's going to be some youngsters who are going to step up.
Yes, sir, and I think Mize is going to get that start, that go-ahead.
Yeah, so.
And they signed him this week. But
he's been with the team before this year, so he's been in the system and as well as the backup. So. You know, it's not the same as having the starter who's been there for 12, 13 games, but, you know, it's better than taking some guy off the street.
347-324-3225 if you want to talk some arena football with myself and BJ Picard straight from the league office in Chicago, Illinois. And
you can tweet us too.
Tweet at us. Yeah, we'll read some of your tweets on the air right now. Twitter's blowing up.
Always.
Going crazy.
Fans always have an opinion, we'll tell you that much. They're passionate people.
Can you blame them?
No. Probably jacked up on the Evite.
they're getting wild on the Evite.
Okay.
Right in the water. So, actually right now, Preche Rodriguez. And my man, Jim Robinson with Tampa Bay Storm, they're going to make an appearance at a student academy. They're going to go speak to some students, and that's exciting. I actually just got off the phone with Jim. So it's great to see these players getting out there to the community. League-wide, all these players going out. And let's get back to on-the-field action. Like we said, Tyson Poots was named the Russell Athletic Offensive Player of the Week. We had Jorick Calvin from the Chicago Rush, who was signed the same week he was awarded.
Yeah, his first game.
That's incredible.
It was his first game with the Rush. He had, I think, 4 interceptions with the New Orleans Voodoo earlier this year. Stepped in right away to that depleted Rush secondary. They started 12 or 13 guys back there with injuries and everything going on. But Jorick Calvin stepped in right away. Make a big impact.
Talk about job security.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You go in, first speaker sign, and you're awarded Rydell Defensive Player of the Week. But honestly, he did deserve it. He tallied 8.5 tackles and 2 interceptions.
Yeah, led the team in tackles and interceptions. So, good showing.
He did play earlier on this season, so he has 6 interceptions to his name and 57 tackles on the year. We had Jackie Chambers of the Kansas City Commanding. Actually, Kansas City is making some noise in the Player of the Week. So, Chambers was awarded JLS Iron Man of the Week.
Yeah, I got a Twitter question here from Nick. He's wondering what city in the Northwest would be the best bet to land an AFL team. I think there are a lot of options out there, and we're always looking to expand. I'm not personally involved in the expansion talks, but you know, we're always looking for new places and good fans. And you know, I used to live out in the Northwest. I know there are a lot of passionate people about arena football out there. So, we'll see.
Trying to gauge the ground right now, where exactly the Northwest is. But no.
Evan's got some trouble with the map. But there's some good... I personally would love to see a team in Seattle because I used to go to school out there. I think Seattle is a great spot. Spokane, obviously, has been an awesome spot for arena football for a long time now. So
great market.
Great fans out there.
Yeah, great market.
Yeah, the Northwest is certainly a spot that we'd love to tap into some more. Good question. Thanks for it.
Yeah, we appreciate listening. We appreciate the question, and hope you enjoy the rest of the show, and obviously we urge you fans to give us a call. Again, the number is 347-324-3225. Again, 347-324-3225. The Cutter's Catch of the Week was awarded to P.J. Barry.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool catch. He's falling backwards, one-hands it, rolls into the end zone. Nice grab.
Mark Jackson of the Tampa Bay Storm won the AFL Playmaker of the Week, while C.J. Johnson was the Spalding Highlight of the Week winner.
Yes, sir.
Top 25 players in AFL history. It went to a man that was from a school that I'm not too fond of. I remember this man playing back in the college days, former Florida State standout Damian Harrell.
Yeah, Damian was a great receiver for a long time in the league. Actually played most recently with the Milwaukee Mustangs. He's still an assistant coach there, coaching wide receivers and special teams this year. I believe he was voted number 2 greatest receiver in AFL history earlier this year by the Silver Anniversary Committee. He was a great, great receiver. Probably the best pure wide receiver, I think, that we've ever seen in arena football. he was just dominant. I think his best years came in Colorado with the Crush. He's playing with John Dutton and Coach Mike Daly. But great honor for Damian. And I know we got some responses yesterday saying that he should be higher. And, you know, there's some validity to that. I'm wondering, with the players that you're thinking are still remaining that could be on this list, who'd you move down? Who'd you move up? I don't know. It's so tough to gauge the top 10 players or so in arena football history just because there have been so many good players. And you know, they all offer something different. You know, whether you're talking about the best pure receiver in Damian or, you know, the best all-around athlete or the best quarterback. There's so many different angles you can take. And for the Silver Anniversary Committee to narrow it down to 25, I mean, that was a tough task. So I don't envy them. They're voting.
So he was a five-time All-Arena selection, and he ranked second in AFL history in total touchdowns with 361 and in points scored with 2,172. He also ranks first in receptions with 1,164, and he also ranks first in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. So Damian Harrell, like we said, should he have came in higher? That is something that we'll let the fans debate. We'll roll out them every Thursday moving forward, and then during the playoffs, top five.
Yeah, top five, and it'll be fun to see who's there.
It will. And I know we have another question from Lance Hoyt. Do we have a game tonight? Do we have a game to watch tonight? Of course.
Absolutely, we got a game. And thanks for tuning in and everything. Lance is actually one of our top fans. You know Lance at all. He's a professional wrestler. But he loves arena football, great fan, and is always engaged in what we're doing. So it's great to have you listening and following us, Lance. And, yeah. We got a great game in the jungle, New Orleans and Orlando.
Met 10 Arena Football Friday on NFL Network resumes tonight live with the Orlando Predators and the New Orleans Voodoo. Like we said, it's gonna be a good one. So we also released the top 25 Ironman in AFL history. We're about to release some more in a matter of moments. Number 11, Chad Dukes. Do we want to give them who are we gonna? Why don't we release something early to our podcast?
We're going to release the top 10 Ironmen in AFL history here coming up shortly.
Cut to the chase. Who's number one?
Barry Wagner's number one. It's not even a question. It's Barry Wagner. I think Barry Wagner is the best player all time in arena football history. But, yeah, he was the best Ironman. No question about it. I think the fun part of the list is who comes after Barry. Because there have been a lot of great Ironmen that we've already seen on the list so far. A lot of names that bring you back to some past Arena Bowls, past great performances. And it's just really fun to count down the Ironmen, because those are the guys that I really admire, because it's tough to play a full game. And it's tough to be so good at so many different things. And these guys really did it really well. And it's fun to honor them and to remember them.
So the number one Ironman in AFL history is Barry Wagner.
That would be Barry Wagner.
And question marks arise. Number one Ironman in AFL history. We're going down the list of top 25 greatest players in AFL history. And, well, Barry Wagner was number one on that list before.
No, Barry Wagner was number two
number
before.
Number two.
Eddie Brown was number one.
Yes, but then that stirred debate.
And that stirred great debate. Because if you ask Barry Wagner who number one is, you better believe it's Barry Wagner.
See, I didn't give anything out early, but we'll see where Barry comes in this year. Number one, number two. I mean,
he's going to be in the conversation. But you also got to look at a guy like Aaron Garcia. Where does he rank?
Yeah,
you know, he holds all the records.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. The question mark is, we had, and I was looking at it yesterday. Mark Grebe came in before, and we're going back. Mark Grebe came in before Aaron Garcia in top 25 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So
he's like number 18 on the anniversary list of top 25 greatest players. And I, like a lot of fans, I was not too fond of that. I thought Grebe should be higher, but you know, I'm like you. I don't get a vote in the Silver Anniversary Committee thing. So, you know, that's where he ended up. We'll see what happens with the rest of the list. I'm very interested to see.
So this week the show isn't going to be on Ustream, so unfortunately we can't pass you over to Ustream after the remaining 1 minute and 47 seconds left in this show. But
next week we might be back simulcasting.
We'll be back simulcasting, so we have a full hour. But
all right, Slasher, appreciate that you're listening. Slasher says he's enjoying the show, need to make it a weekly thing. We will try our best to do it, my friend.
An AFL Field Pass subscriber right there.
He is.
He is the man.
Yes, he is. We very much enjoy Mr. Soares. So.
And I've never seen a person before that has better eyes than Scott Soares.
Whatever gets you going.
He has the best eyes ever. No lie, he really does. So this week we have the Georgia Force at the Utah Blaze. That'll be a big one for both teams. That will be a great one, and that is tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Like I said, the Georgia Force are with a new quarterback. The Spokane Shock will face the San Jose Sabercats tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m., and that's going to be another great one. We have some great matchups. The Chicago Rush will face the Kansas City Command.
The surging Kansas City Command.
Surging 3-10 Kansas.
Yes, Grinch.
Yes, new quarterback, and we'll see what's happening out there. Who, Matt Gutierrez? We got a new quarterback. Yeah, we got a
Matt
new,
who?
New Orleans Voodoo will play the Orlando Predators in Net Arena Football Friday tonight. The Cleveland Gladiators will face the Jacksonville Sharks Saturday night at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Huge matchup for playoff position.
Bernard Morris, cough. Pittsburgh Power 3-10 will face the Philadelphia Soul in the Keystone. What is it? The Keystone Collision.
The Keystone Collision.
San Antonio Talons at 10-3 will face the Tampa Bay Storm tomorrow night at 7:30. Another one. Arena Football Nation, we really appreciate you listening. God bless, and God bless the Miami Heat. All right, you have a good one. Have a great weekend. And make sure you tune into Net 10 Arena Football Friday.
Cut the music up. A little louder.